Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
The Lord willing, I will speak for a while on the subject of plenty but not enough, or insufficient sufficiency. My text is from Job 20, verse 22, where Zophar is recorded as saying about the wicked, "In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits." The three friends of Job tried hard to bring Job under conviction so that he would admit the reason that he had suffered so much was because he had sinned, and that had brought this suffering upon him. In this chapter, Zophar spoke of losses that he said the wicked experienced. The loss of joy, lost because of making restoration and restitution. No quietness in his belly, no savings, no filling of his belly. Losses by him and his household. I believe that Zophar's implication was that Job was wicked, and that was why he had suffered such losses. Imagine if Zophar had been a contemporary with Asaph, and they had faced off on a debate stage. What if Zophar had given the opening argument using the words found in Job 20, verses 28 and 29, and said this of the wicked, "The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath"? This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. And what if Zophar had continued on to tell about the suffering and losses of the wicked? Imagine then if Asaph, the human instrument that God used to give us Psalm 73, stood and expressed some of his views that had been recorded in the first of Psalm 73. What if he had given his own words found in Psalm 73, verse 5, about the wicked? Asaph said, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Or the words of Psalm 73, verse 7, "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." And Psalm 73, verses 12 through 14, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." And what if the debate went on with Zophar trying to prove the blessedness of the righteous and the suffering of the wicked, but in contrast, Asaph tried to prove the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous? Both of the men might have tried to express sincerely held beliefs that were based on very limited experiences and very narrow perspectives. We need to be careful not to be overbearingly dogmatic in expressing our beliefs that are based on very limited experiences and very narrow perspectives. To both of the men, their personal opinions might have seemed right. Thank God that we that are saved have the Bible. Thank the Lord we have the advantage of having the eternal God living within us, a guide within us, and the everlasting words of God from that omniscient and omnipresent God. Christians are not left to depend merely on our limited experiences, limited knowledge, and limited understanding. Asaph's views about the prosperity of the wicked changed when he understood the end of the wicked. How can we understand the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous? By learning from the Word of God. We might be partially right in our opinions, but we might also need some divine adjustments. Consider the text from Job 20, verse 22. "In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits." Notice in the text the words "fullness" and "his sufficiency," but then the text says, "he shall be in straits." The word "strait," S-T-R-A-I-T, can refer to a narrow place, a confined place, a tight place, a pressing and distressing place. We might speak of someone between a rock and a hard place. We might speak of someone in financial straits. Consider these words: plenty, but not enough, or insufficient sufficiency. It is not unusual for a wicked person to actually have plenty, but not to have enough. First of all, consider insufficient sufficiency because of wicked habits. When the prodigal son received his portion of his father's living, he probably had plenty to make a start in life. He might have had enough to have started a small business, but this prodigal wasted his substance with riotous living and spent all and came to want. Have you ever heard someone speaking to a financial advisor about his financial problems? A financial advisor might ask a person how much debt the person has. Then the financial advisor might ask the person how much money he makes and how much money his spouse makes. Have you ever been surprised at how huge people's salaries are that are in debt and wonder to yourself, why are you in debt? It might not go over well on a financial advice show to ask these questions, but it really might be good sometimes for the host to ask, do you drink? Are you on dope? Are you a gambler? Are you involved in an affair? The wicked habits of the wicked can cause that which should be plenty not to be enough. Plenty, but not enough. Insufficient sufficiency. Then consider insufficient sufficiency because of greed, covetousness, and discontentment. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 8. Yet there is no end of all his labor, neither is he satisfied with riches. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And Proverbs 27:20, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Many times wicked men love something, are greedy for something, and are not contented with what they have. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then verse number 17 says, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How much do the wicked want? They want more. Oftentimes, even when a wicked man has plenty, he still does not have enough to satisfy his greed, his covetousness, his pride. Insufficient sufficiency. Then consider this, because the believer is not putting God first. Years ago, I came across a story along this line. A little boy in an orphanage saw someone putting up a sign that said, safety first. The boy objected to the message and said, God first. We need to be putting God first in our lives. In the Bible, we have some information about the time after the 70-year captivity when some of the people had returned to the land of Judah. At one point, the foundation of Zerubbabel's temple had been laid, but the house was not finished. God used two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to stir up the people to go back to building. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? The word sealed is spelled C-I-E-L-E-D. Apparently the people had finished their houses so that they had ceilings in them, and yet the house of God was not finished. A foundation had been laid, but the house of God was not finished. What were the consequences of the people not putting God first? Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Imagine someone in that day seeming to have eaten plenty and yet not having enough, making money, but it seems as though he puts it in a bag with holes in it. Imagine a person putting on clothes but not getting warm. It might have been that before the prophecy was made, they had not realized why they weren't warm, why they weren't filled, and why they didn't have enough. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 17. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider plenty, but not enough. Insufficient sufficiency, because the believer is a God robber. I heard Dr. Seidler say on more than one occasion that he owed God a lot of things, but he did not owe God any tithe. The God robber might not immediately make the connection between having plenty but not having enough, between having a sufficient amount and yet still being in financial straits. Malachi chapter number 3, verses 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Consider plenty, but not enough. Insufficient sufficiency, because of the curse of God. God set before Israel life and death, blessing and cursing. God told the Israelites how they could have the blessing of God, but God also warned them what would bring his curses upon them. If they did not keep God's commandments, there would be curses upon them. Deuteronomy 28, verses 38 through 45, Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in. For the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. God gave that nation a land that flowed with milk and honey. God gave them vineyards that they did not plant. God gave them houses that they did not build, but they disobeyed God and brought the curses of God upon them. America is a land that is rich with resources, but the nation is poor in holiness and righteousness. God has blessed America tremendously, and there is no good reason for this country to be trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. But America has turned its back on God. Plenty, but not enough. Insufficient sufficiency.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.